We are in the middle of Parakhas. Good morning, we're in the middle of Parakhas. We are in the middle of Pasuk of Pasuk Tezvav. Mordechai Yatsa Milafnei HaMelech Milavush Malchus Techeles Vachor V'Ateres Ar Gilov V'Sachlich Mutz V'Yargumon V'Yir Shushan Tzala V'Sameicha. Okay, so we're in the middle of the Targum. I told you that I would attempt to decipher the words of the Targum. Unfortunately, I did not. I am delinquent. I am guilty. So let's just run through the remaining half of the Targum. We're about halfway through the Targum. I don't know what these words mean. Let's just try to do the best. Perek Ches Pasuk Tesvav. Mordechai Yatsa Milufnei HaMelech. Listening on, yeah. Mordechai Yatsa Milufnei HaMelech. We're in the middle of the Targum. Right after where it says, Yodin kol amamaya umaya v'yoru kol amirat kishem Hashem nikru lecha v'yoru mimeka. Okay, so we're up to uve mifke Mordechai mintaru demalka. I don't know what that, in your editions, I'm not sure what that is.
Five big lines down.
Okay, so remember, anyone who knows can help me along. Try to help me along what these words mean. I don't know what to do. Let's see.
I know.
It takes a lot of time. And time is short. Let's see. Uvemifke Mordechai mintar demalka. When Mordechai went out of the gate of the king, Tatar demalka shukaya be'asaya makivin v'dartin be'ar givona. Negid tula bechavli butsa. I don't know what this. I really have no clue. I have no clue what this means. Mordechai was yotzim lufnei hamelach. He went before the king. He went out into the markets. He went out into shukaya. The asaya. What's the asaya? Okay. Makivin the darta. I don't know what those words mean. The argivana. That's argomon. He went forth yotzim lufnei hamelach. With argamon, negid tula, bechav levutza, a garment of tula, tcheles v'chur. This is describing his garments to some degree. Uleimon mochason berei shehon kililon v'chahana. Okay, this part I think I understand what it means. V'chahana. He went out in the street in the state of dignity. And the Kohanim blew trumpets. As he went forth in the street, the Kohanim would blow trumpets in front of him. And they made the following announcement. The Amen. Called the law. What?
Proclaimed.
They proclaimed.
I'm
in the Targum. I'm Perik Ches Pasik Tezvav. It's five lines down in the middle. Seven lines down in the wide lines in the Targum. Seven lines down. So they made an announcement. They proclaimed, "Kol dulo yesun l'shlomo l'mordechai v'l'shlomo d'yehudoe hadmin yisaveit. So shall be done to him." I don't think it's telling us exactly what should be done to him, but something very bad will be done to him. To the person who does not, anyone that does not come forward to give honor to Mordechai HaYehudi, and anyone who does not come forward to give honor to Klal Yisrael, Hadmin Yisaved. Hadmin, I'm not sure what that means. Something, blood, he will be put to death. Uvaisei nivole yish tiva, and their home will be destroyed.
Wow. After we...
After what?
After
he prevailed. Yes, this is the pasuk tesov. After Achashverosh, they sent forth the new letters that said that Klal Yisrael has the right to defend themselves, and Mordechai was elevated to a position of stature. Part of the ceremony, part of the announcements, according to the Targum, was people went in front of Mordechai and they made these proclamations. Anyone that does not come forward to give honor to Mordechai Hayudi, to give him honor, to pay respect to him and the Jews, to be put to death. And furthermore, anyone that does not give on, their homes will be destroyed. Navlon means, like they do today in Eretz Yisrael, Rachman al-Sanon is a terrorist, so part of the punishment, part of the deterrent is that their homes are destroyed. But over here, Vaisei Nivolei, Yish Tivah, their homes will be destroyed. Now, here's something very interesting. It says Va'asra b'nei Haman p'chirin yidehoin v'azlin v'zamrin kodam Mordechai tzadika. The 10 sons, Asra means 10, the Asra, the 10 sons of poor Haman, they were shamed into coming forth, and they were clapping their hands. They were clapping their hands and they were singing in front of Mordechai.
They were hanged.
Not yet. They were hung on the 13th day of Adar. But before they were hung, they came forth, they were forced, they were humiliated to come forth and to sing the praises of Mordechai. Again, one more time. V'asra b'nei Haman p'chirin yidehoin. I'm assuming that means they clap their hands. They clap their hands or they raise their hands. V'azlim v'zamin, they would go forth and they would sing. Kadam Mordechai tzadika, before Mordechai the tzadik, the Amrin, and they would say, U'mishabchin, and they would give praise. L'mon dihav agro lihudoe, to the one, they would give praise to the Ribbono shel Olam, the one that gives reward to the Jewish people. U'mishalem agrohon dirishaya bereshehon, and the one that punishes the wicked people. V'hadein homon avuna, and these children of Haman avuna tipsha, the Ishrechitz be'osrei, the al yikarei. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know. And these foolish children of Haman will be. I'm not sure what that means. Then they went on to say Mordechai an v'sana, Tavrei v'tzaymei v'tzlosei. Mordechai, the humble one, Tavrei means has prevailed in his fasting and his prayer. And that I saw in the Mefarshim here in the Sarasi Bamedinus. He picks a little piece of the Targum. And he indeed,
what? In the son, maybe that means Adivus?
Mordechai, the humble one, yeah. Mordechai, the humble one.
Yeah.
So they're contrasting the difference between Mordechai the Tzaddik and Haman the Rasha. Haman's own 10 sons are contrasting the difference, and they're acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward to the Tzaddikim and Hashem punishes the Rishayim. Mordechai is the Haman. These words are important words. These words I understand are important words. Mordechai in Vissana, Mordechai the humble one, Tavrei, he prevailed. Tavrei means to break forth. And in this context, it means he broke forth, he prevailed. Bitzomei uvitzlosei, in his fasting and in his prayer. Okay, these are very powerful words. The goyim, Amalek, the goyim, the umos olam, they at some point in time come to acknowledge that Klal Yisrael are successful, that their the tfilois and the fasting of Klal Yisrael is what brings them success. Okay, in other words, if you ask a guy, a non-Jew, why are the Jews successful? So some of them will tell you because they're smart, they're clever, they have a good education, they'll find many, many reasons, al derech hapshat, al derech hateva. They're in the right place at the right time. They have all the different reasons why the Jewish people are successful. But here in this pasuk is telling us that the goyim, at comes a point in time, they acknowledge that the success of Klal Yisrael, the goyim recognize this, comes through the koyach of tefillah. They come to this acknowledgement. Again, those are very important words. These are the children of Haman. They're making this acknowledgement that Mordechai, the humble one, has been Tavrei, has succeeded Bitzomei through his davening and through his fasting and through his davening. The Esther Tzadikta Madiko Min Charako, the less she, I don't know what this means, Madiko Min Charako, the less Efshad Lemalkasa Lim Halcha in Bnei Nisha Bishuka. I don't know what that means. Esther, the righteous one, she did something very special. I don't know. Fine. Then Chaza Mordechai Noi v'Chaza Yosa. It means Esther came forth into the street, and Mordechai lifted up his eyes and he saw her. V'Amlo. And let's go back. The Esther Tzadikaya Madika Min Charka.
Charaka says breaking through.
She broke through the barrier, the breach. The less Efshal Lemal.
Or a window.
L'malka salim halcha in b'nei nesha b'shuka. She came out of the palace, it seems, something along those lines. Esther, Mordechai, he was going in the street. The 10 children of the 10 sons of Haman were praising, were clapping and singing before him. And they were saying all of these expressions. And at this point in time, Esther, she comes out of the palace. She comes onto the street and she sees Mordechai. And she says to Mordechai in front of everyone, she says, Mordechai lifts up his eyes and he sees her, Va'amar lo. And he says to her, Baruch Hashem, Sheloi Nisananu Teref Lishinehem. Pasuk in Tehillim, blessed is Hashem that did not give us as food for to their teeth of our enemies. That Mordechai says to Esther, Baruch Hashem, Hashem saved us. Misiva Esther, Esther responds, Va'amaras Lei, and she says to Mordechai, Ezri Me'im Hashem Oisei Shamayim Va'aretz. Period. Then it says, "Sagin b'bnei nosha havu chadio an al mapalta de haman rishia." Many people from her family, b'nei nosha means from her father's home. I guess many people, all of her relatives, all of the relatives of Haman, of Mordechai and Esther, came forth, and they rejoiced on the mapalta de haman rishia. And they gave Shevach Voida, thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the salvation of the Jewish people. And they gave praise for the salvation and the honor. At that point in time, they praised Hashem for all of the honor that Mordechai and the Tzaddik has received through the Melech. Because this is what it says in the Pasuk, and now finally, after this long, long elaboration, it goes on to say, he now translates the Pasuk literally, a Mordechai Tzadika, Mordechai the righteous, Nefaki went forth min Koda Malka, Bilvusha de Malchusa, in royal garments, Tichla, blue garments, Umeila, Meila means linen, Chor is linen, so maybe it's silk, Meila means silk, Meilas means silk. Right, chur. What's chur?
So white.
But he seems to be translating. It means male silk. It was white silk. Uchalil did the hava a crown of gold. Rabba michrich. He was then michrich butza. Tachrich with boots. Boots is linen.
Linen.
The argivana and purple. The Karto de Shushan and the city of Shushan Tzahala v'chedva was in a great state of joy. Okay, so just to recap on what it says over here, I apologize. I didn't look up all the words, but the basic yisod, to be able to review the basic yisod, the basic sense of this pasuk is of the targum is that Mordechai, he went out the levush malchus. The targum elaborates and tells us that each one of these garments was very special. It had images of birds. Had images, it was embroidered with gold, not just ordinary gold, gold that came from Ophir, from Peru, and it describes over here all the various...
What is Ophir
means it's very expensive gold, a very fine gold. Tov de Ophir, gold, we have this in Yeshaya, Tov de Ophir, the Targum says...
Peru.
Right, some of the commentators translate Ophir to refer to Peru. Name of country, Peru, which is
that's where the gold came.
That's where the gold, the finest gold in the world in ancient times, came from. Was called Zohav de Ophir, gold. So it says.
How were they in contact with the Western Hemisphere at that time?
Expeditions.
They
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe no. I take it back. I really don't know. I should not say what I do not know. I'm just recalling from memory from Lo Yishaya. I don't know. It just basically means exotic, the most expensive types of materials that were available in the world at this point in time was what was used to fashion the clothing of Mordechai. It says here that the weight was worth was at 400 talents of gold. It has all of these expressions which indicate that the clothing that he wore was something very unique. The hem, it describes in the Targum, the hem was made from one material and it was embroidered with gold strings and it had images of all the various birds in heaven. and its weight was expensive, and he had a sword, and on this sword it had the image of Paras Umodai, and had the image of Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim. Again, this is going back from yesterday. Okay, that was the first part of the Targum. The first part of the Targum describes in very great detail exactly what its clothing looked like. The second part of the Targum told us that in addition to wearing all of these beautiful, expensive clothing, he wore tefillin. He wore tefillin. And that is what the deeper meaning of the Ateres Zohav Gedoyla, a crown, a gold crown. And the crown here is the crown of tefillin. To fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. And we discussed yesterday, were the tefillin themselves made from gold, or was the tefillin plated with gold? Are tefillin plated with gold, are they kosher? Are they not kosher? Was it Chol HaMoed? And Chol HaMoed, you bedafka weir, tefillin are not kosher. Okay, that was discussion yesterday.
Yeah. Mm. It's interesting that pasuk is said to refer to tefillin when
the next pasuk refers to tefillin.
Known to refer to tefillin.
That is correct. That is correct. But that the next pasuk refers to the entire Klal Yisrael wearing tefillin. La Yehudim Ma'aser Arv Simchas Asmikar is the entire Klal Yisrael. They rejoiced in their own tefillin. Here we're referring to the tefillin of Mordechai. The tefillin of Klal Yisrael were the black tefillin, the regular tefillin. Here, the tefillin of Mordechai, they were tefillin made from gold, or they were set in gold. They were surrounded. He was wearing a crown, and the crown was fashioned in a way where there was an opening where the tefillin were put. So it's a different type of tefillin. He represented Klal Yisrael with his tefillin. Okay, the next part of the Targum discussed is that the scene on the street. They went out into the street, and the Kohanim were blowing trumpets. They were playing music, and announcements were made that when Mordechai comes into the street, everyone must come forward to give cover, to pay homage to Mordechai. And if you don't come to pay homage, it's punishable violation of death. And who led the way in giving praise to Mordechai? Giving praise, it was none other than the 10 sons of Haman. They were singing their praises. And they said all these beautiful expressions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward. They came to acknowledge that Hashem gives reward to tzaddikim, Hashem punishes the Rishoyim, and they came to recognize that there is the koyach of tefillah in Klal Yisrael. This is like Mamash dealing here with the times of Mashiach. The goyim recognized the koyach of the Klal Yisrael has to koyach tefillah. That's what it says in the Targum. And then it describes this amazing scene, which if only we had a video clip, you know, I don't know if YouTube would have enough bandwidth for this, for the whole world to watch the video clip of Mordechai going in the street, and there, this entire ceremony is taking place, and Esther now descends from the palace into the street to greet Mordechai, surrounded by the Beinasha, her family, everyone that now that it's revealed who she is, where she comes from, all of her long lost cousins are now escorting her and coming to greet Esther and Mordechai. And Esther says to Mordechai in the presence of everyone there, Baruch Hashem asher lenosan teref lishinehem. Hashem did not deliver us into our enemies. And Mordechai says, Ezri meyim Hashem oisei shamayim la'aretz. And Mordechai says this to Esther, and Esther says back, Ezri meyim Hashem oisei. What a scene that must have been, this exchange of comments between Mordechai and Esther, quoting psukim in Tehillim, in front of all of their family, in front of the 10 sons of Haman, in front of the entire world. Now, unfortunately, we always go back to this question, this mystery, is of Chazal tell us, Bibnei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Barak. And that for us is very disturbing. It's very, very mysterious. How could it be such a thing that we can relate, at least on a small, we can't even relate to this anymore, but we think about modern times, Hitler Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. Was there anyone as evil as Hitler Yimach Shemo V'Zichro? Can it really be such a thing that his children, his descendants, will be learning Torah Bibnei Barak? It's very hard for us to really to put our minds around such a thing, that how could it be such a thing, such an enemy, he should be given the zuchus that his children should be learning Torah Bibnei Barak. And whatever Hitler was, Haman was even worse. That is for sure. Haman was even worse than Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. And yet, Mibnei Bana Shal Haman Lamdu Tam Mibnei Brach. So we've discussed this a number of times.
Why was Haman worse?
Haman was lahashmid laharub la'avid es kol ha'yehudim.
Then he wanted to...
L'choyra Hitler was... Haman was worse. But if the Torah, if the Megillah is recorded in Tanakh, ben b'noy shel Esav ha'rasha, 20 generations back to Esav, we have his zichus. And the Pasuk says, lahashmid laharub la'avid es kol ha'yehudim. He's described as the tsoyer ha'yehudim. We don't have any Pasuk... What?
Haman only wanted halachic Yehudim.
Haman only wanted that. Hitler wanted anyone that had blood, Jewish blood.
Going back, yeah.
All right, whatever. Okay, whatever it is. We don't know. Okay, we don't know. This is not important. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But the obviously the pasuk says he's the tsoyer ha'yehudim. We're not dealing over here with it's not apple pie here. So what?
You can't
wait. Yeah, whatever it is. But it's very, any thinking person has a very, very difficult time understanding what it means. Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Brak. How could they have such a zechus? They should be part of Klal Yisrael, have a zechus and Olam Haba to learn Torah Bibnei Brak. And part of the credit has to go back to the Zayda. I mean, so we just run over this. We read it and we gloss over it. What does it mean? So we've discussed this. We came across a few ideas in the past. We've discussed some of these ideas. We've gone through. But this Targum here is mentioned as one of the reasons which you have to add to the equation, add to the mix to get an appreciation. It says here that the 10 sons of Haman were parading in front of, were walking in front of Mordechai, and they were singing. It says here they were singing, and they were saying praise. Were they forced to say this? Probably they were. Right? They had no choice. They had, anyway, they were later executed. They were put to death. They were hung up. But, and the Targum over here says some amazing things. What did they say? Baruch Hashem. He gives reward to tzaddikim. He punishes the rishayim. It's clear the koyach hatzila and the koyach of tainus in Klal Yisrael. These are powerful concepts. And who is the one that is expressing these, saying these things? Mitoch shira with shevach v'chaydol. You read the words of the Targum. These are the 10 sons of Haman. 11 months later, they were put to death. They were guilty of their crime, so they were put to death. But in the meantime, during these 11 months, they were singing the praises of Mordechai. And if we assume that their praise was sincere, it takes away from the sting of the question, how could it be that B'nai Banam Shal Haman Lam to B'nai Barak? They did Shuvah. That's the simple interpretation.
Right.
The simple interpretation, they tried to escape punishment, and they were doing that, they were forced to do this. This was not sincere.
Right.
But if the Targum goes through the effort, the Targum is Ruach HaKodesh, if he goes through the effort of telling us they did it, and telling us exactly what they said, it's one thing they did it, they were forced. So just say they were humiliated. They had to go stand there and they had to go and parade in front of Mordechai. But he's going through the effort of telling us in very great detail exactly what they said. And these are powerful words, yeah?
We have anything like this big parsha with Paro at Yamsuf?
Yeah, there is a medrash.
So we have something like this.
But we don't find anywhere yet.
His dying moments, or maybe not dying moments, he lives to
become the king of Ninde.
Yeah.
Or, no, to praise Hashem and Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, he did.
So it's a similar idea. Right?
But we don't find anywhere by B'nai Banav Shal Paroi Lamdu Torah B'nai Brach. That it doesn't say anywhere. So you see Paro, even though at the end he did survive.
Yeah.
And he, in order to lament to saper shmi b'chol aretz, but we don't find anything came from his descendants. We don't find that.
Yeah.
Haman, Amalek, we find something did come from their descendants. Now you can say that Haman, Esav, you have to understand, is still a grandchild of Yitzchak. Paro has no connection to Klal Yisrael. Paro, the break, the break of Egypt of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the child, one of the children going back to the Bnei Noach of Cham. So then they're not part of shame. So to you can suggest that Paro, the nation of Mitzrayim, comes from a different branch of shame, Cham and Yafes, a whole different branch. In Echnami, they'll never be shaykh in this concept called Bnei Banav Lomdu Tar B'Bnei Barak. Haman Amalek, as evil as they are, Mechias Amalek, we do find Bnei Banav Shal Haman Lomdu B'nei Barak. You have to also remember who Amalek is a great grandson of Yitzchak, right, and a great great grandson of Avraham Avinu. So there's something there. There's something there. There's Mechias Amalek, but yet there's also this concept of over here. At this point in time, it says something extremely powerful. We're recording these words. We have to assume there was a degree of sincerity to see the Yad Hashem, to see the koyach of tefillah and fasting in Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's.
You know, the daughter of Haman threw the garbage.
Yes. Yeah.
And then she was embarrassed.
She committed suicide.
Because she was a bad.
Yes.
So she's a Baishan.
Oh. Okay, you're saying good. You're saying something very good.
A need
of Klal Yisrael. You're trying to find some redeeming merit. Maybe it was her grandchildren, great grandchildren that were long term of Bnei Barak. There was something there.
It could also be right. Esav and a tremendous chos, Kibbut Av.
Oh, keep right. So he, and then he had also Yishever et Yisrael until Yaakov came along.
Yeah,
these are different things. These are different things to be aware of. But all I wanted to mention is, it's not my own, what I saw here in this Sefer, the Mishpat Sayyid Zahav, that this is part of the equation of when we discuss this idea. There are bits and pieces of different reasons why they were Zoycha. And here is in the very critical Targum that does indeed shed a small. Does indeed shed a small amount of light. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very beautiful pasuk. Like Yehudim Ma'aseh Oyv Asimcha V'Sasim V'Ikar. This one of the four pasukim that we lay out loud. The entire tzibur joins in and says this pasuk together. What does it say in Rashi? Rashi, and this pasuk, no Rashi is silent, self understood. So let's see the Targum. Targum draws from the Gemara. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Li Hu Do'e, to the Jews, Havas Rishusa. Now, first, before we get to the Rishusa, the Nesak, the Oiraisa, they had permission to be Oisek in Torah. They now had permission. Oira Zu Torah. The Targum says it doesn't just mean now they had a geshmak. Now everyone came to the Kollel. Everyone went to the Kollel the next day. It means until now, the Kollel was closed. It was shut down. Part of the gezeros of Haman was they were not allowed to learn Torah. They were not allowed to do Bris Milah. They were not allowed to observe the Yom Tovim. And they were not allowed to wear tefillin. Chazal tell us these are the four mitzvahs which Haman specified what they're not allowed to do. And the Targum makes it very clear. Now the Jewish people had reshus. And not that now they had simcha in their learning. So the Medrash there says that he caught them, that they were learning in disguise, that they were learning secretly, and in fact, when Haman saw Haman coming, Mordechai told the children, "Go away, hide." Because we're not allowed to be learning Torah, and if they come, they catch us learning Torah, they're going to kill us all. And the children said to Mordechai, "We want to die. We want to go with you. You are our Rebbe, you are our leader. If Haman is coming to take you, good, so we'll come. We want to learn with you to the very end until we all die together." So the Medrash indeed indicates that it was forbidden for the children to study Torah. So here, this is a critical word. It says they now have reshusol the mesak the oraisam ulemitar shabaya umo adaya simcha zu yomtiv. So I saw in the Mishpitzos, not the Mishpitzos, in the Sarasi Bamedinos, he says this pasuk is very disturbing because we know from the Gemara simcha zu yom tov. And the Targum says it wasn't just Yom Tov, it was Shabbos as well. So that was part of the Gzerah, that the Jews were not allowed to observe Shabbos and Yom Tov. And now they have permission. Next, Ulenigzar Urlas Dinehoin. What is Sosoin? Sosoin Zumilo. Now they had permission to perform bris milah. What else? Ule achasot tefillin al yidehoin the alrei shehoin. They now have permission once again to wear tefillin on their hands and their heads. Why does the Targum need to say their hands and their heads? Isn't that strange? When you tell someone you can wear tefillin, it's obvious you can wear the tefillin on your hand and your hands. Why does he have to say both? So maybe what he's coming to allude to is, since in the previous pasuk tezvav, there was only mention of Mordechai's tefillin shel rosh, the ateres zahav gedolah. Here, when it says about tefillin, it's coming to balance. It's not just the tefillin shel rosh; they wore the tefillin shel yad privately. Tefillin shel yad is a private mitzvah. Okay, so we have over here the four different mitzvahs. One more time. Oira zu Torah, Simcha zu Yom Tov, Sason zu Mila. Only you can see, because that was the din of the Ro Kol Am Yaretz. So here he's emphasizing that it wasn't just tefillin, it wasn't that they wore tefillin the Shal Rosh outside. They took pride in wearing tefillin Shal Yad as well. Okay, so we have the Oriz Utara Simcha Zayam Tev Sas Zumila Vikar is Elu Hatzfilin. I saw unbelievable art. Why Dafka these things? Why these four? Now, it's not the entire, I didn't see the entire thing, but let's just bring out the idea. Why specifically these four?
I mean, the only entire Torah.
Yeah, why only these four? So simply, the Mepharshim say is, for whatever reason, Haman, there was a Gzera for these four. Haman led Klal Yisrael to Shechita. It wasn't a big deal. There was kosher meat available. It was good for the economy, kosher meat. Kashrus was none, there was no gezerah on shechita. There was no gezerah on going to mikvah. There was no gezerah pick any mitzvah, on putting on a mezuzah. You can have a mezuzah. The shofar were in business, you can have a mezuzah. Pick any mitzvah you want. Blowing shofar, you can blow shofar. You can have a sukkah, you can have dalad minin. You can do all those mitzvahs. These are the only four mitzvos which Haman specified were not to be done. Why he picked these, I don't know. And therefore, these four, okay, in Echanami, that's one of the reasons. Oir is Torah, obviously. Learning Torah is the Iker. Simcha is Yom Tov.
And Shabbos.
Shabbos, according to the Targum. Okay, Sason is the Ois, the two Oisais. In Echanami, the two Oisais. In Echanami, the three Oisais. Because we know that on Yom Tov and Shabbos, we do not wear tefillin. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov is called an Ois, so there's no need for there to be an Ois of tefillin. It's in Echanami, so it's very good. And Torah, I think that Torah is a catch-all. Torah is the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Okay, so I mean, it's not so far-fetched why Haman would specify. Haman was a shtigl Talmud Chacham. After all, Bnei Banim Shel Haman long do Torah Bnei Brak. What did they learn? They learned from the Zayda. The Zayda taught them the Ikarim. The Ikarim is Torah. Torah, Oira, and Yom Tov. The Oisais, this is Purim Torah. Okay, Purim Torah. They had a Messiah from the Zayda, one of the Ikarim. The Oisais, Torah, Bismillah. Okay, so
the exact opposite of what
the grandfather said. So now when the Gezeru, the Shmad was lifted, so these four mitzvahs were reinstated. And therefore there was very great simcha in Klal Yisrael when these four mitzvahs were reinstated. Period. That is the pshat, the simple interpretation of why we specified these four. I saw another reason. It is specifically in regard to these four mitzvahs we find the concept of simcha. Only these four. How do we know this? Oira. Zutaira, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchelev. Ferish Apostle. Torah brings Simcha. An Ovel is not allowed to learn Torah. During the Tisha B'Av, we don't learn Torah. Mesamchelev. Pikudei Hashem Mesamchelev. Yom Tov and Shabbos. Vissomachta Bechagecha. Now, that's good for Yom Tov. Shabbos is a bit difficult. But the Gemara only says Yom Tov. The Targum he throws in Shabbos. The Chazal only say Yom Tov. So therefore, v'samachta b'chagecha. You can't get better than that. Mila, Sos anoichi al im rasecha kimotze shalom rath. Mefarish a pasuk in Tehillim that bris milah is called sos. Sos when it's sos anoichi al im is kimotze shalom rath. It's bris milah. Chazal darshan that pasuk specifically in reference to bris milah. The reason why it's called kimotze shalom rath is because a child shalom is something that just comes to you. I did not do anything to earn it. A child does not even know that he's having a bris milah. He's just taken to bris milah against his will. When he becomes an adult, wow, look at this. Kimaitse shalom rav. Look at that. I have a gift. My parents were so kind to make sure that I have a bris milah. I did not do anything in my life to earn this mitzvah. The fact that I have a bris milah my entire life, it's only because my parents have done this procedure for me. So it's a shal raf. It's something which just came to me without even me knowing. So that is a reference to bris milah, and the pasuk begins with the word sas. So far we're pretty good. The first three is the simcha. What about tefillin? We call elu hatefillin. So this goes back to something we discussed a few times. Goes back to one of Rabbi Reisman's very popular shiurim. Who is the happiest person in Tanakh? Take out the ishei haTanakh and go through from beginning to end, all the Ishei HaTanach, who is the happiest person? The person that's the Mole Simcha. Who do you think?
David.
Who, David? No. David was depressed.
Yeah. In constant sorrows.
I know his doctor. It's like what? Tikkun Chatzos. David was very sad. David had done the hill and the whole Tehillim in a very rough life. He had a lot of difficulties in there. Who was the happiest person? Well, the symbol, Rabbi Reisman says, the happiest person is Yitzchak. His name is Yitzchak. Tzichoik. Asali Elokim Kol Hashem Yitzchak Li. The name captures the essence of a person. Maybe not today. Today we don't know names. We just give names. We throw around names very lightly. But in the time of Torah, the name, we have a Messiah, the name captures your essence. If Yitzchak is called Yitzchak, because Yitzchak means Simcha Tzichayk, that means Yitzchak is the happiest person. Now you'll ask me, Rabbi Reisman will ask, how could it possibly be that Yitzchak is the happiest person? Yitzchak is the Midah, Vayishova Yaakov, Bepachad Yitzchak Aviv. What more do you want than that? It says in the Pasuk that Yitzchak's essence is Pachad. Yitzchak is the midah of avoda. Avraham is chesed. Yitzchak is avoda. Yitzchak was taken to the slaughter at the Akedah. Yitzchak is the midah of yira. So the Reisman says, what do you see from this? And this is very, very deep. What do you see from this? Is that yira shem, there is no greater simcha in this world than to be a yarei shemayim. When you're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the aim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. We mispalo chayim sheyesh from yira shamayim. That means a happy life. When you're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you know what?
You're not afraid of anybody else?
When you're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a mission, you have a direction in life, you have a hadrach in life, you have kirvas Elokim. This is the old brings a person to the ultimate degree of simcha. And therefore, it's not for nothing, it's not a coincidence that Yitzchak is called Yitzchak. Yitzchak, which is the midah of Yira, is the midah of simcha. And therefore, tefillin, what is the essence of tefillin? V'rohu kol ame haaretz ki shem Hashem nikru lecha v'yaru mimecha. Yira is Yitzchak. So we have here in this pasuk all the forms of simcha, because Rabbi Shlomo is mesamchei leiv, simcha salev, v'samachta bechagecha, the simcha saguf, sasanochi sasain, and then there is tzachoik. All the various simcha v'sasan, the ikar means the Klal Yisrael here on this day of Purim, they achieved all the different possible forms of simcha. Samchei lev, v'samachta b'chagecha, sos anochi, and tzichoik. Asa li elokim kol hashemeya, yitzachak li. This is John the Pasuk. Okay, now there's another Jewish, I don't remember the details, but I just want to rush the Rosh Hashanah. We on Purim, we have four mitzvahs. Let me see if I can rebuild this vart from memory on the fly. We have four mitzvahs. What are the four mitzvahs? Sudas Purim. We have Mishloch Manos Ishlerayehu. We have Matanos Matanas Levionim, and Nikra Megillah. Those are the four mitzvahs. Those four mitzvahs is what it says over here. Lahud Maisa Oira, Oira Zutoira. What is that? Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is a form of reading. You Talmud Torah. You read the Megillah. This is Talmud Torah. Simcha is Sudas Purim. Sason is Mila. So what are we're left with? Matanis Levionim and Mishloch Mano. So what is the sign? I really don't remember anymore. And the Yikar is what? What is Yikar? I don't remember the word. There's a correlation. What? Okay, there's a correlation. I don't remember. There was a correlation. I don't remember, but maybe we'll come back to it. But there are four mitzvos on Purim. This pasuk is also coming to allude to the four mitzvos of Purim. Each one of these words also hits upon the essence of one of the four mitzvos, and that is why we connect these. There are specifically four.
So it has to be Matanos Levyonim, because
there are
two sins. Give twice.
Matanos Levyonim. So how does that apply to the word Sasayin? Shalol Rav. So it's Matanis Levyonim, and a gift. A poor person receives a gift. It's a Shalol Rav. Yikar is Tefillin, and what is the last one left? Yikar is honor. You give cover to your chaverim. Okay, so it fits. Okay, if you want to say, what is Yikar? Yikar is honor. Literally means honor. By giving a gift to your friend, that's a form of giving honor. When you bring Mesholach Manos, it's a very nice, that means I hold from you. Do you ever do that? Sir, I told you, when you give Mesholach Manos, it makes an impression. So that's honor. Okay, Sasain is Sholol Rav, spoils of war. I didn't deserve this. A poor man, he receives a handout. That's Sholol. And then the other two are very simple. Oira is Torah, is Mikra Megillah, and Simcha is Su'udas Purim, to be freilich with your family. So we have over here four different words touching upon the essence of what Purim, the four mitzvahs of Purim. Okay, one of the last thought, Vikar. It says the word Vikar in the Megillah how many times? Take a guess. How many times does it say the word Vikar in the Megillah? 10 times. 10 times. And the Kol Hanashim Yidnu Yikar Leva'alehen goes on. So you have to study now all different types of honor. You have to analyze. I don't have the drush in front of me, but you take all of them 10 times it says Vikar, and you learn about all the various types of honor you can give, you can receive and give in this world. But the Atolis HaKulana, the last mention of Vikar in the Megillah is this word here, Sason Vikar. Vikar is Elu HaTzvilin. The greatest honor in this world is the Shem Hashem. Vikar is Elu HaTzvilin. V'ro kol am eretz ki Shem Hashem nikro lecha. The greatest honor you can have in this world is Zeh Mechubot HaMechabed, is by taking the name of Hashem and putting it upon you. This is the ultimate honor. You can give honor to your wife. V'chol hanar, all you can give to your husband. V'chol hanashim, even you call of aleihen. Oh, you have to go to all the different. They're all very good. All very, very nice forms of giving honor. Okay, but the greatest is number 10. What it says here in this pasuk. Okay, let's go to pasuk Gidzayin. V'chol medino medino, v'chol ir v'ir, mekoy masher dravelach v'dosohi megia. Oh wait, there's one other thing I left out. I'm sorry, I want to go back one more pasuk. Let's go back to pasuk tezvav, one more last idea. The city of Shushan was in a state of joy, a very great state of joy. Two different expressions, I don't know the difference in these two words, but they were it was in a very great state of joy. This corresponds to Vihoir Shushan Novocha, was distressed, was in a state of tsar in the end of Perek Gimel, when the law was decreed, the law was passed. So before I should explain, why does it say that the entire city was in a state of joy? The only ones that should be in a state of joy or in a state of tsar should be the Jews, because they are either the victims or they are the victors. So why are we mentioning here the entire city? So we discussed this idea in the past, is that when the law was passed to destroy, to wipe out the Jewish people, the Goyim were also a little bit upset, because they were shocked. a king in this one moment, just by signing a letter, can wipe out a whole nation. If today the king decides to wipe out the Jewish people, who knows, maybe tomorrow he'll decide to wipe out all of the Babylonians. And the next day he'll decide to wipe out all of the Egyptians. And the next day, all of the Americans. Right? All the Canadians. Everyone was an immigrant. Okay, well, everyone, it was like in America, Shushan HaBira, it was the new America. And everyone living in the Shushan HaBira also realized that they had yichus from another country. So even though everyone, the common denominator was, we're all enemies of the Jews, halacha biyadeinu esav soine Yaakov, but when they see the king in just one moment wipe out a whole kind of whole nation, who knows, we're next. That's what I told you. We spoke about Trump. Trump is a dangerous person. He's a dangerous person. you just throw out words. Extreme things. Ivanka is Shomer Shabbos.
Right? So
you know, that doesn't change the fact that Homo was hanged.
Is that a prediction now?
No. Okay. That's the reality.
People, extremists. Listen, I'm not trying to make a political statement here. I'm not telling you I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not telling you that I'm not voting for Trump. I'm just saying this is irresponsible. This is irresponsible just to wipe out a nation like that. Everyone was afraid for themselves. Who knows who's next on the cutting block?
How about saying that they were tired of having to bow to Haman like he was God or something?
Okay, so here as well, here's the opposite. What do they care? So the Jews now have been granted kavod, have been granted honor, and Mordechai has been elevated to the Mishnah Lamelech. Why is the entire city happy? They hate the Jews. The answer is deep down inside. This is who they want to be. But it's more than that. Deep down inside, this is the one they recognize, the goyim. They recognize the superiority of Klal Yisrael, and they're very happy when the Jews are calling the shots, because then they know the country will be run in a responsible way.
Oh, okay, right. Because before it, they felt the government was unstable.
Exactly, was unstable. Now, exactly. So now, who are they bringing in as the Mishnah Lamelech? Mordechai could not be a better candidate, a more responsible person to lead the country than Mordechai. So exactly what you're saying, until this point in time, they were celebrating, the Jews are going to be destroyed. The government is not stable. The markets, the stock market crashed because there's instability in the world. There's instability. What's going to be tomorrow? And now, then Mordechai HaYehudi, and again, this is from the perspective of the non-Jews, and now Mordechai has been put in a position of authority to lead? Everyone was happy. This was a simcha for the Umar Salam as it was for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the last pasuk of this parak. Uvuchol medina, umedina, uvuchol ir, uvuchol mekoyim asher tarnach v'dosa magia. Simcha v'sosan la'yehudim. There was great joy. Mishteh v'yom tov. And it was yom tov. V'rabim me'ameritz misyahadim. And many from the nations of the earth, misyadim, they became Jews. Misyadim simply means they converted, which we'll see is not so simple. Ki nofal pachad ha-yehudim aleihem. And notice what
didn't happen yet. It's only going to occur a year from now. What's the symbol?
Okay, that is a very good point. But already the mood, the temperament of the people changed. Everything was in motion. And even though indeed the war did not yet take place, but
side do you want to be on it?
Exactly. Yes.
Did the conversion have a direct relationship with pachad?
Yes. And therefore,
it was a shvach.
Exactly. According to many commentators, it was not a kosher gerus, and that's why it says misyahadin and does not say. There's another word, which is a more precise word that should have been used. Give me one moment. No, not miskarim. It should have said hisyahadu. Hisyahadu. It should have said the rabbi me'ameretz hisyahadu. That would have been a more correct word. What? Misyahadim means the pool of they tried. Misyahadim means they attempted. Misyahadim, they tried to make believe they're Jews. A lot of the commentators they put a negative twist on the word misyahadim. Either it means someone to take this in a very negative form. To be a Jew 100%, no way. They couldn't do it. They couldn't give up their lifestyle. Couldn't give up McDonald's, Kentucky Fried. You couldn't give up these things. This is part of life. So misyahadim, at least on the outside, we'll make believe. We'll go to shul. We'll do things. But to actually, Rabbi Meimar, it's hisyahadu. Hisyahadu has a connotation. They made it all the way. Hisyahadu. They indeed became Jews. Doesn't say that. Misyahadim is the verb form. It's the verb form of the word. They acted. They fake. They behave like Jews. Mm. It was in style to be a Jew. It was in style. Misyahadim. But to actually be a Jew in private, to go all the way to make that commitment, that was too hard for the masses. Other commentators tell us, no, they really did want to make that commitment. They did want to make the commitment to be a full-fledged Jew. They saw what it was all about. But the halacha is, we don't accept Jews at times and times of success. During the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Gerim were not accepted. Imos HaMashiach, Gerim will not be accepted. This was a tekufa of Shlomo HaMelech and a tekufa of Imos HaMashiach, the time of the miracle. It was clear to all the Yad Hashem, everyone saw with their own eyes that Hashem did this miracle. So it's too little too late. The time to join Klal Yisrael is in times of darkness, times of galus. It's too little. Chazal said we do not accept Gerim during the times of Mashiach. We don't accept Gerim, Geri Arroyos, if you're forced during the time of the Geri Arroyos, those are the Kusim that were replanted there by Sancheriv, who put in Eretz Yisrael and worshipped idols and were devoured by lions, and asked the prophets, why are we being killed? So they said, you're living in a holy place. This holy land does not tolerate Avera. So they said, we'll become Jews. Their Geris was insincere. They just were Megari in order not to die. It's not accepted. Shlomo HaMelech is not accepted. It's another category. Geri Chaloymais. Okay, you know what this means? The Gemara Masechet Yevamah Daf Chaf Daled. If someone comes to you in a dream and tells you, become a Jew. You come to the Beis Din and you tell the Beis Din, I want to become Jewish. Why in the world would you want to become Jewish? I had a dream. I had a dream. Martin Luther King Day. Right? On Martin Luther King Day. I had a dream. Martin Luther King Day. I want to become Jewish. They say, sorry buddy, we only accept Gerim who come to the realization on their own in times of darkness. So that's why it says Misyahadim.
You want to become a Ger with a losing team, you want to convert with a winning team. So why should let's say you're going to become Jewish when the Jews are down? It's a losing team. You
want to
be on a winning team.
It's too little too late. It's too little too late. You gotta be on the winning team when the team's down and out. It's too little. So this is important. Misyahadim. It's the verb form, not misyahadu. It's not Nisyadu. That's okay. That's important. Yeah, exactly. So many of the commentators say they there's a lot of midrashim which connect Moshe to Mordechai. Moshe, Mordechai. There's the relationship between the two, and just like Moshe took in the Erev Rav, so some want to read this word, this pasuk very simply that they did convert. They did convert, and maybe there was a machlokes in the Beis Din. Should they be allowed? Should they not be allowed? Mordechai said yes. Mordechai was following in the way. Mordechai was a nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, against the advice of his advisors, accepted the Erev Rav, and they made all the trouble for Klal Yisrael later on. Right. So Mordechai also he. Accepted. Mordechai also said we have to accept the Gerim. He accepted them, Misyahadim, and these people, it appears, their gairus, it's hinted, was not sincere, and they indeed were a source of trouble for Klal Yisrael at a later point in time in their history. So there's a correlation. Mesiadim, again, has a connotation that it was not 100% complete, but it still says on a very simple level that they were accepted. Why were they accepted? If it was not 100% sincere, it's no different than the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav was also questionable. Who made the decision to accept them? Moshe. Was it a good decision? Who are we to judge? But Klal Yisrael say whatever was a good decision or not, they were the source of the angel. Mordechai accepted them, and these people also appear to be problematic people for Klal Yisrael at later points in time in Jewish history. Okay.
The interesting, I don't know if we mentioned it, Megillus and Star makes a point of saying, you see how many times the word Simcha is three so far in a row. So he says over there that it's bracketed because Yehu was only Sharon is called Simcha.
Yeah.
Mordechai is listed as one, he says Mordechai is listed as one out of 48 million. And therefore, what happened was all this time Mordechai had lost his Nevuah because of the sin.
But now it came
and
back.
Since it says he issued Hudi Hayolai Yehudim Hayisar of the Simcha, Mordechai was in that state of joy at this point.
And the Ruach HaKodesh, yeah, beautiful.
And that's why he's being proactive over here.
Misyadim.
He's always just wandering around waiting to see what happens. Now he sees the future.
He takes the lead because now, very nice, the Ruach HaKodesh has returned.
Has returned.
And therefore he can take a lead as a Navi to do, to be active,
he's
proactive.
He's taking the bull by the horns.
Very nice.
See, now I understand what's going on.
Very good. Now there's another diyuk. V'sasan la'yehudim mishteh v'yom tov. Halacha l'maisa, Purim is not a Yom Tov. It's a day of Simcha Mishteh, but it does not have the halachic status of a Yom Tov, which means you are allowed to do melacha. Not only allowed to melacha, Mikar HaDin, you can go to work. It's not even Chalamoid. Mikar HaDin. This is a tradition if you do melacha. The Gemara talks about if you do melacha, anyway, it's Simen Bracha. Sometimes the Gemara says that. You're not going to Simen Bracha. But basically, you're allowed to go to work. It's not a Yom Tov. So it appears here that when they later, there are two dinim in a Yom Tov. In a Yom Tov, there is B'shas Maisa. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu does a miracle for Klal Yisrael, there is an obligation, there is a requirement for Klal Yisrael to celebrate the event immediately. Then there's another question, do we commemorate this event yearly? So that's going to be the next problem. The next problem, Perek Tes, Perek Yud, that we're going to learn is there was a very big debate between Esther and Mordechai and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Should this celebration continue throughout all the generations? On the calendar. Should it be a permanent holiday? But one thing is clear. At the time when the miracle occurred, it was celebrated as a holiday. Now this goes, you know, this is a very sensitive topic with regard to the state of Israel. The state of Israel saying Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. So there are many Gedolim that were of the opinion that B'Shas Maisa, when it happened, L'chol Hadeis, or even at least the first year, there was a chiyuv to say Hallel, according to everyone. I'm not trying to get into the controversy when you do this man hazeh, but even the people who are on the side where for future subsequent years there is not an obligation or a halakhic requirement to celebrate in a significant way, but at the moment 1948 and 1949, the following year 1949, there are very powerful halakhic grounds that you are mechuyif to do something significant to acknowledge the miracle that Klal Yisrael has a safe place, has a place of their own where there is autonomy and there is a place where no one can tell you what to do. You're not subject to the umas ha'olam. This is not something to be taken lightly. So you want to go talk a question, should you make this into a holiday for Klal Yisrael and all future generations? In the year 2016, do we still continue to celebrate? That's a discussion. That's a discussion. That's a very legitimate discussion. But even those who are of the opinion that you should go easy and the degree of celebration for all future generations is not as strong. Acknowledge that at the moment when something significant happens, there is an obligation to do something very significant in acknowledging, giving shevach for Hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he has done, and that may even include saying halal with a bracha in the year 1948 and 1949. And that's really what it says in the Megillah. Uveshas Maisa, uvechol medino umedino, uvechol irvi, mekoy mashtar emach magibus, simcha v'sla yudim, mishte v'yom tov. This is not over here a medr, this is not a storybook. The Megillah is part of the Sifrei Tanakh. When it says here yom tov, that means iser b'malacha. You're not allowed to do malacha. It's like Pesach. It's like Shavuos. It's like Sukkot. You're not allowed to do malacha. You have to wear your big day Shabbos. You come to shul and you say Hallel with a bracha. That's what you do. Now the question is, so how come we don't observe Purim Bizman Hazeh with Yom Tov and say Hallel and don't with Isra Malacha? Because that's the discussion, Perik Tes and Perik Yud. Should we continue to do these customs that we've done the first year in all subsequent years? Yeah, what do you want to say?
Today is the bells of Yom HaGeulah. They celebrate, they don't say Tachnun because Rav Aaron Belz and his brother escaped from Poland.
Uh-huh.
So
it's a Yom Tov for them. It's a Yom Tov for them.
Yeah,
for the
so I'm going to throw pieces that after 1 year already everyone forgets how many people sitting in Kailo who are 30 and under today have any saga of what happened in 40, 45, 46, 47, 48.
That's right.
You know, the first year, yes, and then...
That's right, absolutely.
Course, it just drifts off.
Okay, but this is an important deed to be aware of. Nishte v'yom tov.
But if you look later, he has to be established.
And they said no. And they said part yes, part not. The nishte, the mishloach, but not the yom tov. The yom tov is exactly is left out. The word yom tov does not say later on. Later on, when Esther... Now, what about for future? Okay, when it comes to there's a diik, which is mashma, they made the mishnah on that bobay on that very day. But not for all future generations. Okay, well, I don't remember these. We'll come to it. We'll come to it. Belina will come to it. There's definitely a diik which implies that the Issa Malacha was not included in the gezer for all generations. But here it says it was, at least at the time when it happened. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, is there Rashi over here? No Rashi. Let's finish the last pasuk in the Targum, then we're done. Pasuk Yitzayim, v'chol pilcho pilcho v'chol kirva v'kirva asar di piska malko, the place where the piska malko gzeras dine mitei chedvas v'bedichas liba. Okay, so he has two different words. There is chedvas, joy, v'bedichas libe, and a gladdening of the heart. Lihudin for the Jewish Shabbat. Thank you very much for glad. Lihudin umishtaya v'yom etova and a yom tov. V'sagiin me'amah de'ara miskayrin. Many people from the land became converts. Arum because nefal pachto dihudin ala dehoin. The pachad of the Jews fell upon them. The pachad of the Jews. Now, what does it mean? The pachad. What kind of pachad does it mean? It means the pachad fear for their lives, or it means a spiritual pachad. Pashtus is pachad is something spiritual, and the proof is doesn't it says by Yitzchak by Yeshava Yaakov the pachad Yitzchak Aviv. So why doesn't it say by Yeshava Yaakov the Yiras Yitzchak Aviv? The answer is because pachad is a word that has a connotation of spirituality. It's not a fear, a physical fear. I'm afraid of my life. I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm going to starve. I'm going to be tortured. It means my neshama has an awakening, and I realize that my neshama is not going to go to a place where it wants to be. It's a spiritual fear. You're afraid for the purity of your neshama. Mordechai, and that's why we choose the word over here. They saw the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. It's a famous Chassid Shavart. V'ro kol amaretz ki shem Hashem nigudach v'yonu mekach chazas eru tfilin she birosh. The question is, it should more accurately say Elu Tfilin She'al Harosh, that are Ein lo tefillin sha'al harosh. The tefillin was shel rosh. What shebi? Okay, shel rosh. What shebi rosh? It means the tefillin in the mind. If a person takes the message, the meaning of tefillin, what it says in the parasha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and everything that it says in the parashas, and he lives it, he incorporates this into his essence, into his being, and that is conveyed to an observer through his actions, through his speech, through his body language, through his being, that is what instills and evokes fear among observers, not just wearing a black box on your head. We all know today you can put on tefillin and stand in the street, no one's gonna give you a second look. They might give you a second look like you're a meshuggah, but they're not gonna give you a second look that you're worth that. I'll still say, go stand in Times Square with your tefillin there. Meshuggah. Teretz says, it's tefillin she'biroish in your head. And that's really what it means over here. Deo misyahadim ki nafal pachar hayehudim aleihem. The pachar hayehudim, the spiritual greatness, gesundheit of the Jewish people who came upon the world. Okay, so that concludes Perek Ches. We have two perakim to go.
One a little bit.
Okay, and then we're going to go on to Shir Hashirim, the last of the Chumash Megillos. Okay, we've already done all four. After this, we have only left to do is Shir Hashirim.